Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Box of Bones by John Jennings and Ayize Jama Everett. Read by Ken Jackson and a full cast. Opening the box. The enduring potential of an artifact is that once it is created, it takes on an existence all its own, moving through space and time, all the while rendering its creators less and less visible. Box of Bones is an artifact of our imagination. You don't see us. Writers, pencilers, inkers, colorists, and letterers slogging away, channeling our experiences and skills in an elaborate game of exquisite corpse in which we receive pages in various stages of production that we add on to, alter, erase, enhance, and otherwise edit, giving a little bit here, taking a little bit from there, taking things in whole or in part and reconfiguring them to make something else. In anthropology, it's called this bricolage. In music, it's called remixing. And in other parts, it's called it racecraft. Regardless, the task of channeling and harnessing experiences, histories, memories in the service of making things, the process of transforming ideas about the world into things in the world, is all the more difficult when the ideas are tied to trauma. Imagine waking up in the morning and receiving pages that force you to reconcile the trauma of the person who sent them, even as the process demands that you pour a little bit of your own trauma onto the page before you send it to the next person. Box of Bones is a recitation on racial trauma told from the perspective of a woman in search of an artifact. It is the story of black experiences embodied in some not quite living things that remind us. Even as they hurtle through space in ever-transforming time, their identities in constant flux, their world bounded by six walls, the inside of an artifact in the shape of a box. They are trauma given form, crafted from the echoes of moments long gone and pain everlasting, named and identified. The dark, fashioned from the dark essence of a servant from a slave ship and creator of the box of bones, he is the essence of every indignity, every injury, every slight, and all of the pain of black servitude, past, present, and future. The nobody, a living wound, created from the hollowing out of black culture, perpetually existing in a state of knowing of, but not actually remembering what was lost. The wretched, a sentient lynching tree, nurtured in the most wretched of earth, infused with the blood, sweat, tears, torn flesh, burnt bones, and last cries of every violent act committed on a black body. The suffering, the embodiment of black masculinity in its most demonized iteration. The ultimate black buck, contorted, twisted, racked with anger and rage, with no other outlet than the sheer violence its strength enables. The dark, the nobody, the wretched, and the suffering call the box of bones home. Inside the box of bones, the moaning, crying, and screaming are so constant, so ever-present, so much a part of the background that they pass for this world's notion of silence, only to be disrupted by the call. Chants, conjuring, a cacophony of voices from outside that cause the walls to shake, tremble, and peel away at the edges, letting in shafts of otherworldly light, followed by a rush of air, suction, pulling the denizens of the Box of Bones from their dark, cramped space of yearning into a different world. The world where the traumas that made what passes for their flesh were originally conceived. The Box of Bones is a driving force in a quintessentially ethnogothic landscape that serves as a warning to us all about just how dangerous our traumas can be. We bear witness to the transformation of experiences into things. Things forged from emotional turmoil and physical pain rooted in Black experiences. Things that take on a life of their own that serves to project some of the most horrific aspects of the Black experience into the future. And in so doing, rendering these experiences as things that follow, haunt, and stalk the Blackest, the whitest, all of us. Box of Bones forces us to look at trauma differently. Too often we speak of trauma in terms of cycles, this idea that history is an ever-repeating set of stories. But the making of things, the giving of life to trauma, is most horrific in its evolutionary implications. These things go on to live in ways we don't want to acknowledge. They seek their own comfort. They eat. They rest. They experience joy. They feel pain. They love. And they give birth to new things. Things that are not responsible for their existence, their nature. Things that could be nurtured but rarely ever are. New life that carries with it the existential horror of at once embodying our trauma and being without any sin of their own making. What do we make of our traumas given form, moving and multiplying through space and time? What do we make of these vehicles, these artifacts of our imagination that speed them along? How do we live with this? Stanford Carpenter, PhD, Chicago, Illinois, October 2020. Read by Ken Jackson. Stanford Carpenter, PhD, is a cultural anthropologist, comic scholar, comic creator, and former archaeologist. Dr. Carpenter is co-creator of the forthcoming NPR affiliate podcast, Brother, Story and the Correspondent, an ethnographic and journalistic take on comics, culture, and the lives of the people who create and consume them. Chapter 1. The Troubles I've Seen. UC Berkeley, Oral Examinations in Folklore African American Studies for one Lindsay Ford.
Why can't we ever have anything nice? Some have used the supernatural as an explanation for the plight of Black America. In fact, specific spectral creatures have appeared in my research at key moments in the lives of Black people in both Northern and Southern America. I have nicknamed them based on the written descriptions. The suffering, the wretched, the nobody, the burden, the night doctor, and finally, the dark.
Lee Rayford, department chair.
The legends of night doctors, disreputable white doctors coming into Black communities and performing experiments on people, are well established. But it sounds like you're talking about something different here.
Indeed. All of these are demonic creatures of folklore that have plagued the African diaspora for centuries.
Dr. Aswad Nograpanti, assistant professor in African American Studies, head of the Black Student Union.
Careful, Ms. Ford, to categorize your study subjects as demonic resigns you to a Western dichotomy of Black and white, good and evil. And if you read my own work on the Orisha, you'd find...
Forgive me, Dr. Nigrapante, but I did read your work and found it useless for this project. The stories I intend to collect during my fieldwork have very little to do with Africa, but rather the descendants of Africans in the diaspora. In fact, the so-called sightings of these entities tend to increase the further we get from the days of slavery. And while the notion of Orishas do tend to include both positive and negative elements, these entities have only one proper designation: evil.
Dr. Jones, co-chair, Folklore Department.
Well, Miss Ford, you obviously have a great passion for this work and have done excellent work. My only question for you is personal.
Personal, Dr. Jones?
Indeed. When did you first find the drive for such intriguing research?
Yes, Grandpa, yes! I told Mom I'm staying over so I can help out. But really, I just wanted to hear you play one last time before I left for college.
Tricky little skinny. You know I'll play whatever you want.
Get your old dog.
How you like these old songs anyway, girl?
I don't know. Guess I'm gonna be so far from home for the first time. I wanna wrap myself up in my good memories before I leave. And my best memories are of you playing that guitar. Wish you could see yourself play, Grandpa. Only word is majestic.
I can think of another word. Saved.
Ma says she can't remember stepping foot in a church, even the day she married Dad. How are you even gonna have that word come out of your mouth?
Lots of ways to be saved, girl. I may have lost my sight, but I know I've been saved because I'm still alive. And I've seen the devil.
And if you ain't in heaven, tell St. Peter I ain't coming.
Sing it again, Slim Jim.
Gage and me was just kids. I guess thinking about it now, so was them Peckerwoods. The Bonds was always public, on the black part of town as well. But when them crackers got their blood going, feeling frisky, drinking, it was the type of trouble I'd been dodging all my life. But not Gage. Her people were from New Orleans. Light as she was, ain't no Peckerwood gonna intimidate her. Sometimes it ain't smart to be so brave.
You can't pull it, Slim Jim. Hand it over before you lose me my dinner.
How am I gonna look letting a woman get my fish?
Ask your belly when it's full. Get out of that water, sucker. We's hungry.
Yank it, Gage. Come on.
Got it.
I can't. Oh.
It's smack past some niggas, huh? If that don't beat all. What the hell?
Oh, leave him alone, Donnie. It was a mistake.
Shut up, Penny. I'm trying to think who gave these niggers permission to be in our pond. Sticking their nigger feet in good white people water.
I'm thinking they need to pay a tax. And that fish looked like a good price.
Shit, Donnie. If they don't want to part with the fish, maybe we just take the girl for a bit.
I ain't scared of you. I bust your old fat ass my damn self.
God damn it, me in it now.
I hear you right, you light-skinned bitch. You say you won't keep the fish and give up something else? Because I don't usually dirty myself with the help. But you just wide enough for me to make an exception.
I see any part of your pencil-sized pink meat. I'm making a snack for the fish in the pond, hillbilly.
Last chance, you high yellow bitch. The fish or your ass.
Get it right, Peckerwood. You don't scare me.
Oh, I can change that real.
Oh, shit. Who else wants some?
Jim, what?
Ain't no time for what? Run.
But.
Run, I say. All right. Which one of you wants some more?
I take some more. Seeing as to how your last wasn't enough to keep a good white man down, nigga. Ain't your daddy ever told you? Don't ever in your life touch a white man.
Damn it, Donnie, you better not kill him.
Get in the goddamn car, Penny. I'm sitting here bleeding out my face and you're acting like a goddamn nigger lover. Now, where was I?
I know she ran. I know she hid. And I know they caught her. And I know bad as I got it, it couldn't hurt me the way they hurt her.
Y'all want some of this?
They'd done such a number on me I couldn't move. Took a clear day at least before anybody came for us.
Oh, Grandpa.
Oh, hush and listen, child. It gets worse. See, evil beget evil. And Donnie and his boys unleashed something deep and evil in Gage.
Gage, honey, yeah, you wanna...
You can't give me what I want, Aunt Rue. But I know what can.
Gage's people let me stay with them while I healed up. Didn't mean they wanted me there, though.
Y'all's own damn fault for provoking Donnie and him. Expect you to know better, Slim Jim, and keep my niece from harm.
Ain't Jim done me harm. He the only one stood by me. Broke his only possession over that cracker's head. For all the good it did.
Trust in the justice of the Lord, for he judgeth all souls equally.
Amen.
You stay praying to the Lord and see how that worked for you. I got my own justice coming.
Now don't you bring none of that New Orleans voodoo here.
How you mean, Gage?
Let's just say I brought some of my mama's magic with me.
Not in this house!
What's that?
That's my vengeance in the form of the box of bones.
That's the end of your natural soul if you open that box.
Devil, take my soul if that's what it takes to pay back them crack-ass hillbillies.
Gage, wait. I can't keep up.
That'd probably be better.
What you mean? I thought...
Feel that? Feel that hate, that rage, that darkness? That's some old vexation, so old and twisted it makes its own hoodoo.
Gage, please! I ain't done nothing!
I know, Jim. Now stay away from me, because I'm about to do something you don't want no part of. What I'm fitting to let loose ain't good at telling friend from foe.
Truth of it, I'm ashamed to admit now, is that would have run and kept running on my broken leg if I could. But the briefest touch of that box, it made me feel something. Something twisted and deep and wrong. But it was also seductive. It wanted me to find it, to follow it. I wasn't as quick, wasn't as wrong as Gage, but I was caught up in the box of bones just as much as she was. Way I heard it, Gage went to Shotgun's house first.
Smells great, Ma.
It's that fish you brought home the other day.
It's that fish you brought home the other day.
I can only imagine the pain she felt in sacrificing her soul to the box of bones. Becoming one with that ancient demonic head, with his gleaming red eyes and yellow fangs. Above his head rose chains of bondage springing like metal snakes from a blackened skull. They whipped above the gnarled horns of dreadlocks, now become living bone. But Shotgun and his kin felt it.
What in tarnation?
They couldn't have known what was coming for them.
Who's there?
And they wouldn't have been able to do anything about it, even if they did. As the head flew from Gage's torso like a homing pigeon to that of the doomed father.
Papa!
Grandmama, go and get help!
What about you?
I ain't letting this thing take Pa without a fight. Now get! Get the hell off my Pa, you demon!
Ma, you think shotgun okay?
Word has it, shotgun was gutted like a fish.
Mama, I'm scared.
Don't worry, baby girl. Believe in the Lord and...
Mama?
What is it?
Oh, Jesus! Why is this happening?
They never found the heads or any answers to what happened that night. It was clear to see. She took her time with some of them.
Oh, don't stop, Penny.
Yeah, don't stop. You guys are turning me on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Penny. Oh, my God. I think I'm gonna... Oh, here it comes!
Baby, what?
And they said it was a murder-suicide thing. Ain't like anybody believe that, but it was better than the truth. Anything was better than the truth. Ain't nobody wanna talk about the truth.
Get away from me, demon!
You wish I was a demon. Your torture would stop in hell if I was a demon. But the blood that summoned me requires that I pull you into the deep water where your fate is mine.
Jesus!
He has no power here.
Let me go, you fucker!
That's just what I said. Remember, fucker? No weapon, no living man, no power or principality may harm me. Don't you wish you could say the same? You think it hurts when the flames melt your pretty white skin? Just wait till they reach your soul!
That it? Could you stop killing now?
As I looked on the last thing I'd ever see, I could have swore my girl Gage called out to me.
Who? Jim? Move!
Gage?
But only for a second.
You were warned. But like so many before you, you didn't listen. Now, carry that warning to all your generations. Call those from the box at your own peril.
My eyes! Gage! Where you at, girl?
I reached for her in my agony, only to find her lifeless torso a few feet away, lying in her own pooling blood.
My only personal motivation rests in making sense of the stories my grandfather told me before he died. They have antecedents and precedent in other tales and literature.
The only reason we ask is that we find when people's deeply held convictions are analyzed in such a rigorous manner as you are about to attempt, the consequences can often be troubling, if not outright deadly.
Chapter 2. Wretched Blood.
Welcome, Madame and Monsieur. If you'll join me up front here, yes, here. Gather round. My ancestral home has been in our bloodline for over 11 generations. And as a seat of religious community and cultural significance, I feel confident in saying, if you knew the stories this house, this pavement could tell, perhaps you would not stand so easy.
Lindsay is disguised in a baseball cap, sunglasses, and trench coat. She has a laptop and her camera at the ready.
So, come into the shelter of my blood and know that you are all welcome, so long as you behave. This house is one of the more interesting ones in all of the Big Easy, if I say so myself. My relative's house never held the allure some of the larger houses possessed. My great aunt was known as trustworthy, loyal, and as a result, powerful amulets were entrusted to her for safekeeping. Some are mere gewgaws. Some would put your soul in peril. Hence the prohibition. Once again, please do not touch anything behind the red line. I haven't lost a visitor in almost a year and a half, and I'd like to keep the record going.
The tour is over, Mr. Alphonse. I am no tourist. I'm an academic. I've no interest in parlor magic, only history.
Trust me, young miss, neither my illustrative relative nor I have ever dallied with hooey or trickery.
I meant no offense.
Let me finish, historian. You're interested in the history of a family heirloom, but you didn't come correct. With respect.
This artifact, this box, it's not just of academic interest to me. I've heard of it since I was a child.
Whiskey?
No, thank you.
You came cloaking yourself among the sheep when it's clear you're the wolf. Have you seen it?
I don't even know if I believe in it.
Shush then, child. Let Alphonse tell you a story. Then we shall see what you believe.
130 years ago, a corpse with a noose around his neck lies on the window box.
Madame Laveau, I can only imagine how you suffer.
Then tell me, sister. You see, I am beyond suffering.
I am enraged. All my divining with shell and card for all my potions and charm. All the good I've done in this city, I never imagined that they would think I would allow this. Without claiming my vengeance.
As this murdered servant was one of your house, you have a blood debt, Baptiste. So does every black mulatto and mestizo south of the Mason-Dixon.
How dare they hang one of mine? I know you have the box of bones, sister. Let me have it and my vengeance.
The box unleashes terror, not vengeance.
I will punish not just the hands that took my love from me.
Go home, little brother. Find your peace before the mother of your house pairs a violation of spirit with the violation of your body. Ashe.
Oh.
I will punish the fruit of their loins. Those Stygian crevasses they crawled from, their drunken elders who did not teach them to fear proper power, and those who stay silent while me and mine sing from trees. Come, little brother. Has grief taken your ears as well as your heart, Baptiste? I said no. And if you will not give me what I need, it can be taken. Sister, don't be this stupid.
Go!
You dare? I am the madam of a house, with more than enough summoning power to fill you with the dread of lynching. And you, Baptiste, I expected so much more from you.
Then help me!
You are beyond my aid. Damn fool woman!
Baptisma? I'm sorry to say, I think she broke in here.
And stole the box of bones. I figured as much. Tell me you hid the coins from Cuba, Bonita.
Of course, ma'am. I also called your house together, and adherents should be here soon. Oh!
Mwah! Good, good. We may just have a chance to stop whatever wretched thing comes from the box.
You've always taught that you cannot use coin to pay off evil.
Yes. But those were used to buy slaves. They have an arcane power of their own. With those coins and this dead man's tie, we're not going to pay the wretched. We're going to beat it.
But the people Baptiste wanted were the white people who were lynching the black people.
Baptiste was calling for blood debt, and blood runs deeper than skin.
You mean?
While my ancestor's house labored over a weapon to protect them, Baptiste opened the box and unleashed a terror she'd soon regret. Some deserve the wrath.
Pa, when do I get to see a lynching?
Lynching's grown man business. Get to cleaning your room, slopping the hogs, and milking the cows without being asked. The responsibility of the white man to keep niggas in check is a sacred task.
I heard tell somebody strung up one of them baby colors not 2 nights ago.
Hush, girl. That's man's business. And who you talking to about such matters?
Ma!
You niggas fuck with the wrong white man tonight.
Yeah, Burrs. Yes, sir, massa. I see Dundale.
Yes, sir.
I don't... What is happening?
Huh? What's happening? I feel like...
Like I got some black in me. I also want some watermelons.
Why, my neck hurt?
Zippity-doo-dah!
Swing low, sweet chariot!
Alphonse, local records indicate a large migration of white families out of the area around this time. Are you saying they were somehow intimidated by the fear of lynching retaliation into leaving?
I ain't gonna let no nigger tree take my family from me!
Those that it caught became its strange fruit.
What's the matter, Massa? We sick?
Don't whip us none, Massa. We swear we be good.
Give me back my gun. I'll show you my family ain't no nigga. You can't make no donkey out of me, you damn nigga tree.
There are stories of white families around the same time who went to see a lynching and were never seen again.
What happened to them? Where did they go?
Jungle Bunny!
Coon!
Tar Baby!
Spear
Yeah, chuck a
burrhead.
Pouch monkey.
Gator bait.
I can only tell you what came from our great aunt and her people.
Madame Laveau, it's here.
Feed a nigger.
Clothe a pouch monkey.
Don't whip Sambo. Please, don't whip Sambo.
Hide a nigger in the woodpile.
Unclean thing. Get away from my house.
No, Master, no.
We bad.
Yes,
Master.
We so bad.
What kind of foul coonery is this?
I'm wretched.
Ma'am, are you okay?
I am far from okay. I am pissed off.
We've got your back, ma'am.
Then let's send it back where it belongs.
I take the most cotton.
Back, wretched. Back to your box.
No. I was summoned.
Master, please don't whip me no more.
I was summoned.
I'm sorry. I was so angry. I didn't realize what so much anger could destroy, could break. Only I can fix this. With this noose around my neck, I summon thee. Sheree, I tried to warn you once the box of bones is opened. It doesn't care what it kills. And it can only be sealed with the blood of its summoner. Pray for me.
It's not that I don't believe you, but there's no material proof of the events that you say took place.
Material proof.
Oh! Is this the...
It's the only material proof you'll ever get.
Whoa!
Before it's too late, I'll take my family heirloom. And I'll caution you to get a better set of manners before you continue to rush around looking for the box of bones.